The Instructor Podcast with Terry Cook, talking with leaders, innovators, experts and game changers about what drives them.
Welcome to the Instructor Podcast. This is a show that continues to help you become an even more awesome driving instructor and, of course, run a better driving school business. I am your ever-delightful host, Terry Cook. I'm delighted to be here, but I'm more delighted that you have chosen to listen because today we are continuing our In Conversation series with the third installment, as I'm joined by the wonderful Diana Todd, and we are talking women in the driving instructor industry, a topic Diana specifically requested to talk about. So hopefully you'll enjoy this one. But just before we get stuck in, I want to point you in the direction of the Instructor Podcast Premium. Over there, we release regular content that helps you with your health, run your business better, build your confidence, coaching techniques, you name it, we've got it. There are some real big deep dives in there, including the latest release, which was a two-hour event with seven of our regular contributors, including the likes of Ray Seagrave, Chris Benstead, and Emma Cottington. And that was a live Q&A that was then released into the membership. But it's not all just long-form content. We do break up some shorter 5 to 15-minute sections for you. There's audio content in there, and there's video. We aim to give you what you need. And of course, on top of all that, we add in the episode workbooks. These are workbooks that go alongside the episode. So once you've listened, you can take this away, get the key takeaways, get some of the key quotes from the episode. There's some reflective questions in there to get you thinking. And there's some key actions for what you can do next on the back of that episode, as well as some further listening suggestions. So if you want to get stuck into that, you'll find a link in the show notes to this episode or go to the website www.theinstructorpodcast.com. But for now, let's get stuck into this episode. So we're back with another edition of In Conversation with Diana Todd. Diana, still doing okay?
I'm still doing okay. You still happy to see my smiley face?
I'm still happy to see your smiley face. But when I asked you to come on, and like what sort of things we like to talk about, one of the first things that you said was women in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why did you want to talk about women in the industry?
That's interesting. I wanted to talk about women in the industry because I think we're an undervalued resource, if I'm honest. Because in some ways. And I also think that we often come into this for reasons. Well, I think I'm maybe speaking in from my own personal experience in this, but we often come into this for reasons of that work-life balance and I don't know, childcare and family care and all the rest of it. But I think that we offer, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, I think we offer an emotional approach, but a nice emotional approach to driving lessons, instructor training. It may be, I don't really know what I'm trying to get across without disrespecting most of the industry. So I'm going to try.
Disrespect us and we'll go from there.
I think we're largely a male-dominated industry. And because of that, things have always been done a certain way. And I genuinely believe that if there were more women in this industry, then as a whole, we would be more compassionate. I'm not saying, please don't get the message that men aren't compassionate, because I know lots of lovely men that are compassionate. You're one of them by far. I just think that there's an element there where we're undervalued and often disrespected in the industry as well, dismissed. And there's so many really good people, like really fantastic people, men and women. And I don't think we're valued. And I don't think some of the the things that we experience as women is appreciated and perhaps sort of made allowances for as well. So I'm gonna leave that there and I'm gonna let you dig deeper because I'm struggling to articulate exactly what I want to say.
I actually think you've articulated well. I mean, 100% disagree. No. I think it's a. Do you know what? It's one of the reasons why you should never ask a question expecting an answer. Because it's not the answer I expected.
Okay.
I didn't expect underutilized as underappreciated, underutilized as the answer or the initial answer. And I think that's really interesting because I think there's a valid point there. Because if we look at stereotypes, which you probably shouldn't do, if you look at stereotypes, women are a bit more emotional.
Mm-hmm.
They are more compassionate, as you mentioned. So men and women are different in terms of stereotypes. And if we look at the industry, like you said, it is male dominated. There'll be men listening now that will say, yes, but we have Love Dear Rider at the top. Fair play. And we've got Carly Brookfield in charge of the DIA.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, fair play. I think that's exception to the rule. Possibly, but then there's two exceptions, so I'm not sure. So, Paul Stewart's here.
Poor Stewart.
But I think if we look at that stereotype, I think it exists, and I think it's 65% of the industry is male. I think that's right. Remember correctly, so 35% roughly female. There's non-binary in there as well. And it's interesting when I look at the podcast stats because it's roughly, my podcast is 50-50 split.
Mm-hmm.
So only 35% of the industry is female. But it's roughly 50-50. It changes slightly, but it's roughly 50-50. So 35% are female, but 50% of my audience is female, which I think is interesting. The compassionate thing intrigues me because it's how are you underutilized? Because when you said it, it's like, maybe then you should be teaching or demonstrating compassion.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where you're underutilized because if there's blokes out there, I use me as an example, that aren't overly compassionate or lack that particular quality, that's where you can be more utilized because you can then help us develop that quality.
Yeah. It's interesting because I do think you're really compassionate. And it's interesting that you think. Well, obviously you.
I'm compassionate. I was using it as an
example. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say. I think you're really compassionate. Yeah, I think I would like to see more women in training roles, training, driving instructor roles. If I'm honest, because I think when I think about the industry, that's. You know, we talked about Lou. You know, Lou is. Was absolutely sensational. And when you think about all the things I said about Lou, it was about the fact that she cared, she was selfless, she was inspiring. In fact, that's why we named Inspired Instructor Training. It was because she, Lou, inspired us. And I think that there's place there for us to demo that within the industry, because we don't see that compassion. What I see out there is people being mocked for daft questions. I see people being told that they should know better. I see, and I don't often, I'm not saying that it is a man and a woman thing, but I just think we should all be a bit more compassionate, and I think that should start from.
I think if we're being realistic, it is more men than women that do that. And I don't think that, maybe it's representative of the number of in the industry, but I don't think so. I think it is more men than women. And I think that's where women show more compassion. But for me, I think they're underutilized in a different way as well. Although maybe I would throw the blame at you, as in women, for the, blame's the wrong word. I'm not necessarily sure that, and I'm happy to be shot down by you or anyone else on this. Mm. I'm not necessarily sure that this industry is in a place now where it suppresses women.
No.
But I think that we're still in a place where women don't put themselves forward as much.
Yeah.
And I can use this podcast. I'm going to use you and Phil as a prime example, actually. Phil, a large number of times, has come to me and said, I'd love to come on and talk about this. I've got an idea. Let's do this. How many times have you asked to come on the podcast?
Never. Right.
Is that because you don't want to come on?
No.
So this is a perfect case study then. Why haven't you asked to come
on? I love that. I haven't asked to come on, one, in case you said, no, thank you. Two, I don't like to bother people. I don't like to bother people. Three, I'll leave it there. One, I don't like to bother people. And two, I'd be crushed if you were like, nope, nothing to offer me today, Diana. Thanks very much. Not that I think you ever would say that, but.
Because to me, it's interesting because, we're stereotyping here a lot, but I think men generally expect people to say yes to them. I think there's an expectancy there. I have a lot of stereotypically feminine characteristics. So I've spoken on the podcast, I've spoken to you before. One of the things I don't like doing is asking people to come on the podcast for the first time, because similar, you said, I don't want to pester them. I don't want them to say no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a stereotypically male trait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's a feminine trait, and I'm probably getting my wording wrong here. Someone can pull me up on this. I need to get G. Sabini Roberts back on. But I still do it.
Yeah.
Since I started this podcast, I think I've got this correct. I've only had one woman ask to come on the podcast.
Yeah.
In 5 years, almost 5 years. Sam Harper.
Oh, really?
I've had a lot of men request.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the other difference that I noticed, that Sam Harper, when she mentioned me, I can remember quite clearly, she spoke about, I'd love to come on. I'd love to talk about this. This is what I do. A really good thought out kind of, this is why you should have me on.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time when I get inquiries or requests to come on, it's, I've been an instructor for 10 years. I'd love to come on. And I'm kind of like, yeah, what for?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Because have you listened to the show? Because that doesn't sound like what I do. And I have to kind of dig into it. And I think there's an expectancy there. I'll just throw my, you know, hat in the ring and Terry will say yeah, whereas what you're saying is there's almost expecting to say no. And there's been two occasions where I have run shows for International Women's Day, and I've had them specifically so that they were run hosted by women.
Mm-hmm.
I did it so the introduction was done by someone else, and I had a voiceover. My ex-wife did the voiceover for the start of the show, so there wasn't a male voice on it.
I love that.
I haven't done it every year because I've been doing it 5 years. I've done it twice.
Yeah.
But those times, I reached out to the women and said, will you do this?
Mm-hmm.
So, Diana, if women are underutilized, and in my opinion, that is through a combination of men being more happy to go and put themselves out there and women usually being more afraid, how do we utilize women more?
Yeah, I really like that question. And I think creating an environment, which we're doing with this podcast, by saying, just ask. Not just ask, because the onus is on them, and actually they might still not. So there are loads of awesome women out there doing loads of awesome things. So share your knowledge, share what you do that is awesome, and help people learn from that. And then naturally I think that the resources themselves will just start to adapt to, you know, what is being shared by everybody, because I think we're too scared, because me included, you know, we're too scared of putting ourselves out there in case keyboard warriors have an absolute go at us. Like, I have a private YouTube channel, sounds well dodgy, but basically it's where I've recorded video lessons and I'll send like a lesson to somebody privately. It's not out there in the public domain because I just don't want that. It's not something I would ever do, but I would send it to like a trusted person. I would send that. But I think that it would help. Like some videos that are on there, I would, it's not loads because I don't record loads, but will I do it? I don't know if I will. I send little private videos out to people to learn from because I don't particularly want it out in the domain because there's lots of awesome people out there and there's lots of people that just almost want to see you fail. And I don't want to necessarily invite that type of attention.
Can I be brutally honest?
Yes, please.
That was a real namby-pamby answer, right? That was like, you wanted to tell people to go and do it.
Yeah.
And then you said no. And then you said, well, showcase yourself. And then you said no.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost as if you're realizing, crap, I'm going to have to do this now.
Yeah.
And then don't want to do it. Right. So it's the thing when I look at this. If we look at, let's say, podcasts, YouTube channels in our industry, Dipod.
Mm-hmm.
Kit, Inspire, Instructor Podcast, couple of driving instructor, I think that's still going. Mirror Signal Podcast, I probably missed some. All hosted by men.
Mm-hmm.
To the best of my knowledge, there is no female-led podcast. And there is, to the best of my knowledge, there is no female-led YouTube channel for driving instructors.
Yeah.
There's some for learners.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a slightly different thing. And again, I'm supposing you can correct me on this. I would imagine that promoting yourself to a learner would be different to promoting yourself to driving instructors. Because I feel different that way. You know, personally, I know more than a learner. I'm okay doing this. I don't necessarily know more than instructors. So I would take a slightly different view to what you said, and I would say start asking.
Yeah.
And it's easier said than done, but it's looking at why. So, for example, you're worried about being rejected, being told you're not good enough, you don't deserve to be on there, whatever. So to me, there's two responses. There's two different types of no. I can use my example of dating, right? When I go on a dating app and I ask, well, there's two different types of no you're going to get. You're going to get a, no, sorry, this ain't for me right now. Best of luck going forward. Yeah. Is that a bad thing?
No.
Of course it's not. Just means there's another someone out for me out there or a different podcast for you or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Then you get the other type of no, which is screw you, you loser. I don't care about that. I've just learned something about that person. So if you reached out to me to appear on this podcast and I come back to you and say, screw you, you loser, right? You've just gone, right, I don't need to be on that podcast. I'm going to go find someone that wants me.
Yeah. I also think, though, and I'm maybe going off piste a little bit, I think often, well, this is certainly my experience, not only in this industry, though, that women will often have other priorities. So they'll be the sort of caregiver, the person that looks after the kids, the person that takes them to the clubs, the person that does the dinner, the person that does the goddamn calendar, you know, does everything around that. And I think that takes quite a big chunk of their time out from a CPD development, the niceties of things. And I found that in every industry, actually, when I look at all of the sort of chiefs, if you like, at Marriott hotels when I was there, the women that were in positions of power either had no children or grown up children and were just starting to progress. So there's obviously that needs to be considered as well. There's lots of stuff, lots of ideas I have. God, I really, really, really want to do an app where it's about education of kids. And I know that there's that lovely lady who has, her name escapes me, who talks about educating parents on how they can speak to kids and stuff. And I'd love to do something like that. Will I? Have I? No, because I've got too many other priorities at the moment. So I think that affects things as well, because we've not necessarily got the headspace to give it that time at the moment. And that can be quite obvious, I think, as well, when I see things going on. Even if you just take Phil and I's dynamic, he will go off and he'll go to the office and he'll plough through work because he spends lots of lovely time with his kids. But Shell's got the kids, whereas I'm the one that's got the kids. I've got one. Let's not exaggerate that. But I've got one kid.
Once enough.
But it's me doing the thinking for that as well. And it's not to take away from poor Stuart. He does his bit, absolutely. But I think it's the forward planning, the thought processes, what's for dinner, what's this, what's that, all the rest of it. And I think that takes some brain space that possibly impacts then your development within the industry or any role that you have.
I think that's really interesting. And as a bloke, I don't see that. You know, because I'm not a woman, mm-hmm. and also I don't have kids, and mm-hmm. I'm single. I think I'm still single.
That's, that.
Yeah, that's something I need to consider. But I've completely forgot myself now. But yeah, that's really interesting. So I think that then that there's two things going on there. I think that we've got that aspect of women not asking for the variety of reasons, with, mm-hmm. you know, some would call, but then we've got what can we do and what should we be helping as mm-hmm. as men, you know. And it's so what I'm about to say I think actually annoys some people. The time I start caring about that will be the time I probably stop the podcast. But when I think of a guest, when I've got a topic, so mm-hmm. not a guest, when I've got a topic I want to discuss, I think, like, who am I going to get on? I immediately look for people that aren't straight white men.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
my first go-to.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I'm looking outside of my regular contributors, because yeah. I've got a few that I tend to fall back on for certain things. And I'm not 100% sure that's correct. You know, if we look at diversity and equality, mm-hmm. but it's because there are so many that are available. I look at the podcast, you know, if I wanted to get someone on to talk about running a podcast.
Yeah.
I am really, really strictly limited to, mm-hmm. to men.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was one more podcast, and I don't know, you have Inspired Podcasts, but, you know, Phil kind of runs that, yeah. But if there was one more podcast that was hosted and created and run by a woman, I would be inclined to go to her
mm-hmm.
because, well, look at all the men. I'll go to the one that's a bit different, giving that opportunity. So do you think, and I think this is tricky to answer, maybe it's not, maybe I'm overthinking it. Do you think that people in the industry, I include myself in this, when we're looking to provide an opportunity as a guest, as a speaker, as a presenter, should be specifically looking to include women, people from different backgrounds, diverse, mm-hmm. or just purely going on best for the job, if you like?
Oh, that is a difficult one to answer, because I am very much of the mindset best for the job, if I'm honest. However, I think that there's certain people that don't get presented opportunities to because of their gender, their sexuality, or their race, or whatever, or even the country that they're from. So I think that has to be blended. I think that there needs to be a best for the job, whoever that may be. But I also think we have to extend opportunities out with that to people that might be the best for the job, but they've just never been given the opportunity to present that yet. And I think that really matters. That has to matter. That's probably like a wider environmental sort of the statement, if you like, as well.
And we're just taking a quick break from today's conversation to tell you about the Instructor Podcast Premium. If you're enjoying these chats and want to take your development even further, Premium is where you'll find over 200 hours of exclusive content, Everything from 5-minute quick wins to deep dives and 3-hour expert sessions. You'll get access to our entire back catalogue, workbooks to help you put ideas into action, and if you join the interactive tier, you can jump on live coaching calls, Q&As, and even watch podcasts recorded live. It's all designed to help you become an even more awesome driving instructor and run a better business. So if you want less noise and more action, head to theinstructorpodcast.com or check the link in the show notes. But for now, back to the episode.
Oh, completely. And it is my example. I hope this works. You and Phil.
Yeah.
Phil Cowley, for anyone that's not sure. I don't want to, you consider yourself kind of equals in terms of your training ability? Because, the reason I'm asking that, I would. So when I look at you both, I don't look and think, oh, Phil's better. You know, you'll have your own unique high points and you'll be better at certain aspects. But in terms of a generality, is that a word? Generality, I'm going with it.
Generality.
Of trainers, I would look at you both and go, they're on the same playing field.
Mm-hmm. Phil has, so yes and no is going to be the answer to that. And please call me out if this is a bit wishy-washy. So I'm going to try and articulate this well. Yes and no. Phil has a lot more experience than me in training driving instructors, practically, like one-to-one practically training driving instructors. I have more experience than Phil when it comes to training in group settings and internationally, like across different cultures, and, you know, diversity and what have you. So I think I'm going to say yes, we're equals because we complement each other.
Right. Equals, but with different strengths.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's where it comes. That to me, this is where the choice and where someone like I can help, if you like, because if it comes down to looking at two people or equals, you and Phil, who do I get on the podcast? Well, if Phil gets 10 opportunities a year and you don't get any, then I should be reaching out to you more.
Mm.
In that specific example, would you agree?
Yeah.
You don't sound confident in that.
No, I'm saying yes because it sounds cheeky that I'm saying that to you. Because the reason we're having this conversation is because you reached out to me. And I never would have, for all the reasons that I said before. Clearly I wanted to because we're doing it. So yes.
Because I think it, and it is harsh, and because there will be men out there who don't get given opportunities. You know, I mentioned to you previously about I don't always get offered opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that is because I'm seen as the host, not the contributor. And I lay out that way. You know, that's my own fault, if you like. But so there will be people out listening to this that are blokes that are going, well, I don't get given opportunities. Why should a woman get given an opportunity over me? And I think it for me, it's not that we're giving the opportunity to the woman over the man. It's that most of the time, the man is given the opportunity over the woman. Exactly. In the examples I've just given, now partly because you're not putting yourself forward, but we've just kind of touched on the reasons of that. There's that fear of being rejected. Mm-hmm. There's that not wanting to put people out. And there's the idea of the extra responsibilities. So I just think that if we were to offer just occasionally, specifically, like, right, okay, I'm going to get someone different on for this.
Yeah.
You know, I try and do that. I don't do it well enough in some areas. I'm fully aware of that. I struggle with some of this. But it's just, even if we take away the male-female dynamic, the race dynamic, all that kind of stuff, there are times I specifically go and get someone brand new on. Someone who I've never even spoken to before. Mm-hmm. I recently recorded with Terry Left. Oh, God, he told me off for saying his name wrong. Terry Leftery.
Yeah. Right?
And I've never spoken to him before. We've swapped messages a couple of times. He's never been on the podcast. Like, I want to speak to someone new. And I've had my Aunt Terry for a while. I'm going to get him on.
Mm-hmm.
And it went really well. People can listen to that later. But So for me, it's not always about, you know, a gender or a race. It's sometimes about someone new, someone different. Do we need to do more of that in terms of the people that have the platforms, so the podcasters, in terms of the associations, in terms of people that run driving schools looking at it and going, hold on, we can only take on 3 more PDIs this month and we've got women and men, should we prioritise these or whatever? Do we need to actively do more of that?
Do you know, you've kind of sparked an idea in me. I think it's up to schools, associations, podcasters, people, because it's interesting. You'll, I suspect, reach out to people that already have some kind of platform. They're known to you in a way, but obviously you've discovered them somehow. So I wonder if there's an opportunity, even if I think about support driving school, you know, we have a mixture of men and women. If we just, then it's not a men and women thing. It's a mentor thing. And have them, if they're willing and they want to, of course, host a support session or host one of the quarterly training sessions and rotate that. I think it's about creating opportunities for people to step up that want to step up, regardless of gender, if I'm honest. I think that's maybe potentially what I'm saying. And I think associations can do that as well, because often the people that are invited up already have that platform. And I get there's an element of you need to have a rough idea, otherwise you're going to get some crazy stuff going up on stage. But you can filter that. You can speak to people. Reach out to one of the 35% of people that have qualified this year, the females that have qualified, and reach out to the 65% of males. And you know, see who would be willing to have a section on becoming a PDI, or have a section on the positives of becoming an ADI, or the struggles that they've faced, and provide those opportunities to newbies coming into the industry and provide that platform.
But going back to your initial point of underutilising women, how do we make sure that those opportunities are the same? How do we make sure that you're getting, even if we were to take the example of, let's make sure 35% of them have, 35% of the podcast guests are female, you know, rather than 50-50, for example. How do you make sure that women are actually getting those opportunities?
I do think that involves us reaching out to them. Because I would love the woman to ask. I have been given every opportunity under the sun to ask you if I could come onto this podcast, and I never have. So I don't know that many would ask, if I'm honest. So I do think there's a little bit of us where we have to put that to them and say, I've had this idea, what's your thoughts on this? Because there's a lovely instructor, and I think she was doing something about safeguarding. She's just qualified, just coming into the industry. And I believe she reached out, or somebody reached out to her, and she was made up, absolutely made up with that. Would she have done it off her own back? I don't know.
Lucy
McGlynn. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if she created that opportunity, or if that opportunity was created for her.
Seems, if it's the one I'm thinking of, I think she created it, was with Fear Free.
Yeah.
But yeah, she reached out to Fear Free and then got that opportunity. Yeah, got that opportunity. And then, but that's it. It's doing that. So I genuinely think this is twofold. And again, I'm not an expert. I could be wrong. People will shout at me or whatever. I think that we need to reach out to the people that aren't great at reaching out.
Yeah.
I think that we do, because I think that the more people that see, you know, if you see, you can be it. That used to be the thing, that if you can see it, you can be it.
Yeah.
So the more female instructors that see female podcasters in charge of associations like Carly Brookfield, in charge of the DVSA, maybe not the best thing to aspire to, but Love Dear Rider, you know, the more see them at the in different committees and on YouTube videos and on Facebook Lives. And this is where you do a good job, because you do that stuff. You do lead by example in your own stuff. The more that you can do that, it's going to give more people a strength, but also us as you know, whether it's male, female, non-binary, whatever, to make sure that we're offering some of those opportunities to other people. I do think that's important. And I would say hold my hands up, I'm not always great at it, you know, but I think that it was interesting you spoke about being underutilized. And I think that it's, there are skills that stereotypically fall to a woman rather than a man. And there's ways to utilize those. And I think that there are other ways to actually get them out more prominently. But I'm going to put you on the spot a bit then. What are you going to do? Who are you going to ask? I'd have to say who. No, that would be fun, actually.
Oh, my God.
What are you going to do?
I think the idea that I had earlier, I'm going to start within the school. I'm going to look at the mentors and ask them if they would consider hosting a session, if they want to, and then perhaps open it out. Obviously, this is all ad lib because I'm gonna run with it and speak to Phil as well. But I like the idea of creating a platform. And actually, see, if I'm honest, I think in a way I've already done that because I know that a lot of people have followed in my footsteps and started supporting PDIs and developing PDIs and training PDIs. So I think I've kind of shown them that they can do that with the right support themselves. And I think that's key as well. So I'm going to reach out to the mentors. So I hope they're listening. I do have a couple of people in mind that would be my immediate go-tos. I'm not going to mention it on here because it wouldn't be fair for me to do that and put them in the spot because then everybody will know they've either said yes or no. But yeah, I have a few people in mind. So I'm going to do that. And I think I'll... What else? No, do you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to seek out opportunities myself.
You know I'm a dick. I was going to challenge you with that. I expect you by the end of September to reach out to me and tell me you've reached out to someone else.
Okay.
Because it can't be me. You've just been on this podcast, right? You have to find someone else to go a way to showcase yourself. And if it gets rejected, don't matter.
That's my brain now saying he doesn't want me back.
No, but you're right. I don't. I've just had you on for like four or five episodes. You come back another time.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. Yes.
You will be back, but not. I'm not rushing you.
I'm only messing.
I think the other thing I want to touch on here, and I think this is important because I see this a lot, not just our industry, but a lot. So the topic we're speaking about today, women in the industry. And you said this is something you want to talk about. So this is, but I haven't just got you on to talk about women in the industry and then not had you back.
Yeah.
Because I see that a lot. Let's get this person on to talk about diversity. When we're finished speaking about diversity, we're not going to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's looking at gender, at race, or, you know, religion, whatever it is, we'll get people on to talk about that thing, their characteristic, and then the bugger off, we don't ask them back to talk about the important things. So today, the things we're talking about, yes, we're speaking about them and this, not just this. So I, do you know what? That's just a plea. Just for anyone, do not get someone on just for that diverse episode and then don't get them back. You need to continue that. But do you know what? I want to touch back on that idea of what women bring. And it is stereotypical, but that, you know, women and men in a stereotypical world are different.
Yeah.
So what else do women bring? Alternatively, if you want to throw this, what could a man bring that a woman can't?
I think the men that I've come across in this industry, the ones doing well, like the ones that spring to my mind, ADIs, I'm going to say, emulate confidence, and it's that can-do attitude, and it's, yeah, I've got this. And I joke, I love it. I love this when Phil will say something, he's like, well, obviously I'm going to get that. Like, you know, it's that sort of confidence, not arrogance, not to be confused by that. It's definitely a nice confidence. I think we as women need to develop that skill because by God, I juggle to within an inch of my life. I should be down the dips at the circus, do you know what I mean? Because I'm constantly going for stuff. And I think that we need to share more our successes. Not only, and this is important, not only career successes, but the little wins that happen in life that just propel the day positively. You know, things like, I don't know, when your kid gets out the door on time and you manage to, like, everything just sort of streamlined. Little things like that. So I think that is something that we need to share. Women, I think, will also bring a very nurturing role. And I've said before, I'm an open book. I'll share with anybody. Men, women, I don't mind. Non-binary, I don't mind. But I think a lot of people will open up. Well, certainly women will open up to women more so than maybe necessarily a man. I remember when I was training as a PDI, and they had even said they saw me as being a trainer and mentor and all the rest of it. And they were like, please, we need a female trainer. And that was, and I kind of took umbrage at that because I was like, you need a female trainer. Like, it was nice and a slap in the face at the same time. I even had a PDI recently say to me, he was talking to me on the phone and he said, well, I've had such and such a person, and I've had such and such a person, both men, and I think I just need a woman. And I dug a bit deeper. I was like, well, what is it in particular that is standing out for you as something you want to develop? And he said, well, I can't get my words out. I never know when to say the right thing. It's over instruction or it's under instruction. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, do you want the good news? And he was like, yeah. I said, I'm fairly confident I'll be able to support you with that. When it's got nothing to do with the fact that I've got boobs. Because it's not about that. It's just that I might say something in a way that the penny drops. And women, and I'll take Sophia actually this morning, because I shared with you earlier, Sophia had an absolute meltdown with her dad going to school, meltdown over French fancies. It was that ridiculous. And Stuart and her were absolutely butting heads. And I promise you, there was an ego there and there was an ego here. And this is why they were butting heads. And because I wasn't part of that environment, I was able to come in and just ask Sophia a few key questions that just calmed the situation down. Absolutely. And that's at that moment, at that time, at that minute. I'm not saying that I'm the sort of the caregiver and he's the tyrant. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying because I was out of that. And I just think if you look at the industry, there's not an awful lot of female trainers being recognised out there as much as they could and should be. And I'd like to give them the opportunity to share.
I think the really interesting thing there is the balance, because it's what you said, you don't want to be invited somewhere to do something because you're a woman. Mm-hmm. Only invited because you're good.
Yeah.
You know, just imagine me asking you to do this today. Oh, by the way, I want to come and spend 5 to 6 hours with you, but only because you're a girl.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
and that goes back to what we said before about that quality. It shouldn't mm-hmm. be the man is an A star, the woman is a B, so we get the woman.
Yeah.
We get the two A stars and pick which we're picking and why.
Yeah.
And as much as, you know, sometimes that'll come down to personality mm-hmm. and that personality's characteristics. So do I want the compassionate person?
Yeah.
Or do I want the, not an again stereotypical, the woman's going to be more compassionate, the man's mm-hmm. going to be more forthright and direct.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. You know, and it depends on the person. You know, I call both of those spaces quite well. but like, even when we look at learners, you know, again, stereotyping, but lads, 17-year-old lads will often get in the car believing they can drive.
Mm-hmm.
There's often isn't the self-doubt there. It's just, well, I can do this.
Yeah.
Because you know, lads, I'm a lad, I got told, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
And grow up and be anything you want. Whereas women, it's a bit more reserved, and we'll get the female learners in the car and they don't believe they can do it. They're scared. They haven't had that same reassurance that they can do what they want in life. Mm-hmm. They're a bit more pigeonholed. Again, not everyone. I feel like I've covered that way too much on this episode. Just accept going forward that it's not everyone, but we see it there.
Yeah.
So it's gonna roll over going forward. So yeah, open invite now. Anyone can ask to come on this podcast. I encourage everyone to ask. I will reject a lot of you because the topic might not be interesting. And look, I should also clarify actually that whenever I reject people, it's not reject permanently. It's reject for that reason.
Yeah,
because you may not fit in. But like, and I've had it before where I'll come back to people in a year's time and I'll say, do you want to come on?
Yeah.
And it's because I've got now something that works. So yeah, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, the juggling aspect.
Mm.
Like you said, you've got the roles that are traditionally filled by a woman that you fill a lot of, potentially. How do you juggle everything? You know, someone, how do you?
Yeah. I also think that there's an awful lot of pressure keeping up on with the Joneses, if you like, with social media and doing flipping activities here, there, everywhere, and goddamn birthday parties and all sorts. I prioritise. I think over the summer holidays, I indulged myself a little bit just with the family. But I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. So I did indulge. I think it's the balance where I worked my backside off over the summer holidays because it was that whole play hard, work hard thing. But play hard is now going to girly pop. With Sophia and not necessarily out clubbing or whatever. So
I always preferred girly pop to clubbing.
Yeah, honestly, I ended up on stage. Did you see it? Singing, dancing.
I mean,
it was
impressive.
Best time of my life.
So you put yourself on stage singing.
I know.
But you won't message someone to go on a podcast, right? Okay.
Yeah, I know. To be fair, it was, I didn't know what I was volunteering for. So there was no rejection piece there. I just put my hands up because I thought it would be fun. For Sophia and I, poor Sophia, though, got given a song that she didn't know and choked on stage. But apart from that, she was good. But it's constant balance and act. So, for example, I knew that we had this time set out today. I know that either side of this week, I have some fun activities with Sophia. I made sure to plan all the meals so everything was done. And I think it's trying to be organized. Lists are my go-to. Like I've got umpteen different lists. I really need to consolidate that. I think there's too much noise sometimes in my head when I'm like, oh my God, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to say this. I need to do that. And things, sometimes the balls drop. Sometimes they drop. We spoke earlier about credit. And I hope that I've got enough credit with people to be forgiven when those balls drop, whether that be my husband that forgives me, whether that be my daughter, fingers crossed, because she did not get those French fancies this morning, or whether it be the PDI that I've had to delay a training session with. I'm looking at stuff and it's almost just weighing up what, when and how I can do stuff. I tend to look at that holistically over the week, sometimes the month, sometimes even 3 months in advance. Because when we were looking at doing the support train the trainer course, we did it during the summer holidays to facilitate actually a couple other requests to do so. But that was a balance in my head because I thought summer holidays, it's okay. I'm not taking time out of when I don't see Sophia when she's at school. I would have spent all that lovely time with her. So it's things like that. There's constantly a juggle in my head on what I can do. And then couple that with driving tests and commitment to the learners and commitment to the PDIs. And got to be a wife now and again as well. So with a lot of juggling is the short answer.
So if there's someone listening to this now, if there's a woman listening to this right now that is struggling to juggle, is worried about putting herself out there, that is concerned that if she messages someone, they're going to get rejected or insulted or put them out. What do you say to them?
Just do it. Like the Nike advert. Because actually, what have you got to lose? I'd ask, first of all, now if they're juggling and they're not surviving whilst juggling, that's a completely different matter. I think they have to, what I do is I look at my priorities. What matters to me right now? So in the month of August, I do not recommend this, I turned a dial down on my health value. And I did that for a couple of reasons. I just knew I couldn't do. I just could not go to the gym as regularly as I wanted and manage the meal and do all that. I just couldn't do it. I didn't turn it off. I just turned it down because I needed to prioritise making sure Sophia had a good summer holiday. It's not lost on me that if I dial down the health, I'm not here for Sophia. I was just turned down, not off. And obviously we had support in the driver lessons and the instructor. So I think it is okay to tweak the dials slightly. And if something, and it's not going to feel like you're in a good place at that point in time for that thing that you want to do better at, but it's temporary. And we talk about priorities. I'd have them work out what is important to them right now and go from there. Mm. And I think that would be my biggest advice.
I think the thing I would chuck on is just to say that if let the thing that stops you doing the thing be important, you know, if you're just a bit scared, tough shit.
Oh, yeah.
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 If it's the... You're nervous, if it's that you're scared, if it's that you're worried what people think of you, you're not going to progress with those thoughts. But if it's a genuine thing, if it's a financial issue, it's a family issue, it's a health issue, then in bed with a broken back, then yeah, don't message anyone that day. It's fine. But let the thing that stops you doing the thing be an important thing.
Yeah.
Right. Do you want to take a minute to tell people where they can find you and what you have to offer?
Yep. So we are Inspire Instructor Training. And on there, we have some lovely training resources to help you be the best instructor that you can be. And we're also at Support Driving School, and that's supportdrivingschool.com, where we have created a lovely little community of driving instructors that are just pretty awesome.
Awesome. Big thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
The Instructor Podcast with Terry Cook, talking with leaders, innovators, experts, and game changers about what drives them.